You this evening is believe in Jesus and you will be saved, right? Believe in Jesus, you'll be saved. Now, this truth that we do find in Scripture is not a shallow truth where it's just what it says it is and then you're good, but this is an expectant truth. This is a truth that expects something from us if we are to believe it. Believe in Jesus and you will be saved. Let's start off in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, and let's look at verse 43. This reads, "To him, to Jesus, all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins." This is a pretty serious statement because it is sin that separates us from God. Remission of sin, the removal of sin, the forgiveness of sin makes it so that we can once again be in communion with God. Whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. And of course, John 3:16. This is another well-known scripture here, John 3:16. Tells us, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So, believe in Jesus and you will be saved. We know it's a true statement, but what does it mean? Of course, the truth is never hard to find. Jesus, God made sure that the truth would not be hard to find because, of course, the truth has to be understood by those who are old enough. If you're old enough to be lost, you should be old enough to be saved, and so you should be able to understand the truth at a very young age. What does it mean to believe? Let's start there. What does it mean to believe? Believe in Jesus, you'll be saved. Is it that shallow attachment of I acknowledge his existence and I'm good? Or perhaps I have accepted him as my Savior into my heart and so I'm saved. What does it mean to believe? Well, when you say you believe in someone, right, if I put my hand on your shoulder and I say, I believe in you, what am I saying? Am I not putting my trust in you? If I say, daughter, I believe in you, am I not telling them that I have faith in them? What is it? It means to put trust in. Or perhaps you might say to take something seriously, not casually, like perhaps people consider religion to be something to be practiced casually. No, it means to take seriously, to not treat in a casual manner. You're putting your faith in something. I believe in you. So can you believe in someone but not believe what they say? Can you say, I have faith in you, I have trust in you, I believe in you, but I don't believe anything you say? Or perhaps, can you be ignorant of what a person says and trust them and believe in them? So when we say we believe in Jesus, but we don't know what he says, if we're ignorant of his words, how do we know him except by his words? If we say we believe in Jesus, but we don't believe his words, then can we even say that we believe in Jesus at all? So let's do this little exercise of fill in the blank. Believe in Jesus and you'll be saved. So we're going to say, believe in Jesus and you will, dot, dot, dot. That's the fill in the blank. Let's go to the first scripture we're going to look at here in John, still in chapter 3. Let's look at verse 5. Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Pretty short and simple right there. So, believe in Jesus and you will be baptized. We look at the scripture, we look at what Jesus says, entrance into the kingdom requires what? Being born of water and the Spirit. He's speaking, of course, of baptism here. If we don't do that, we cannot enter the kingdom of God. So if you believe in Jesus, you will be baptized. See, Jesus makes the truth easy. Like I said, once again, it has to be understood from a very young age. Let's go to Matthew chapter 3. This is always a beautiful scripture to look at. Let's go to Matthew chapter 3. And we'll start in verse 13. It says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me. But Jesus answered and said to him, Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him." So what does this tell us? Baptism is required to fulfill all righteousness. You see it in Jesus' own words in red letters, if you have the red letter edition. Believe in Jesus and you will know that baptism is for the fulfillment of all righteousness. Without baptism, righteousness is not fulfilled. So if you believe in Jesus, you will be saved because if you believe in Jesus, you will be baptized. And there's a lot of fill in the blanks we can do about all the different lessons that Jesus taught. We'll look at a few today. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Let's look at 31 and 32. This is something that some even within the Lord's church have issues with. 31, furthermore, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you, whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. So we see if we believe in Jesus, we will consider marriage sacred or divorce repugnant. Now, can a relationship with someone else really affect our salvation? I mean, if we know that Jesus counts it as the second greatest commandment, our relationship with our fellow man, can a relationship affect our salvation? Can a marriage relationship affect our salvation? We see here the command, we see here the precedent set for us, and to be outside this is counted as sin. So to be saved, right? Believe in Jesus, you will be saved. You'll believe what he says, and you'll consider marriage sacred. We see this idea of relationships. Can they affect our salvation? Let's look at verse 22 of chapter 5 that tells us, but I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. So we know that our relationships with each other, with our fellow man, with romantic or unromantic, can affect our salvation. We see the order, right? That we see the ideas, the precepts set forth in the scriptures for us of how we are to treat our fellow man, how we are to have our relationships, romantic and otherwise, and not be sinning and be in a saved state. So if you believe Jesus, you'll believe what he says. Matthew chapter 6. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? If you believe in Jesus, right? Believe in Jesus and you will not worry. Now what does it really mean to worry? I mean, sure, we can have concerns, we can plan ahead, we can have a care, but worrying, we see here, is something that Jesus tells us not to do, and we know that it can cause us to be in a state where we're not saved. If we go still in Matthew, let's go over to chapter 13 real quick. He's talking about the parable of the sower. He mentions specifically in chapter 13, verse 22, he says, now he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. He becomes unfruitful. Those who worry, those who care, the concerns of this world, not the things that we need to be concerned about, but the worries, the cares, even the riches, the desire to... What is the desire for riches anyway? It's to prevent yourself from being in a situation where you don't know where your next meal will come from, or you're not sure you're going to be able to take care of yourself. So people desire these riches so that they feel secure, they feel safe, they feel surrounded by things. But in reality, it's the cares of the world, the worries, the concerns that choked out the weeds. So we need to know not to worry, because the things of this world, if they fill us with worry, they can drag us down. They can separate us. So believe in Jesus and you will not worry. Again, there's so many lessons that Jesus tells us, that if we believe in him, we'll follow certain truths that will bring us to our salvation. But let us look at this one in particular, Matthew chapter 7. Let's go to verse 21 of Matthew chapter 7. This is the scripture that we have up on the screen. It says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Just saying the Lord's name, saying, "I'm a Christian," going and telling people, "I'm a Christian, I believe in Jesus, I've accepted him as my Savior." Even Jesus says there's going to be people who invoke my name, who say my name and say, in verse 22, "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not put out advertisements or even commercials on television in which we depicted these artist renditions of you? Or cast out demons in your name?'" There's definitely people that do that on television, right? "And done many wonders in your name. And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you.'" That's scary. That's some scary stuff right there. "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." The point here is in verse 21, he says, "He who does the will of my Father in heaven." So if you believe in Jesus, you will do. It's not a sit back and do nothing faith. It's not just a, "I say that I am, I've accepted it, I believe," and that's it. It's a doing. Those who believe will do. So if you believe in Jesus, you will do what you need to be saved. And we see a perfect example he gives right after that. In verse 24, "Whoever hears," right, because the world is full of hearers, "whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them," again, the action, "do," those who believe will do, "and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house. It did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." What is this trial, this testing that's going to happen? The winds and the rain and the floods, that trial, that testing, that's going to be the judgment, in which what we have done is tested, it's tried, and if it's built on that foundation, it will stand. And then we see here, in verse 26 and 7, "But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them," right? That person who has accepted Jesus but has not accepted the words of Jesus but does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. "And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Those who say but they don't do have no foundation. Those who make it too easy to feel warm and fuzzy inside. You think about all those people who just accept it. Perhaps they don't know what the scriptures say. Perhaps they don't even know the words of Jesus. They just, like, what is it that they have accepted into their hearts in the first place? Is it years and decades and maybe even centuries of denominational artist renditional depictions of Jesus Christ looking all majestic and holy that they've kind of piled up over the years and just accepted in their hearts, like, "Man, that's what I want. I want to be attached to that guy who looks so majestic, who looks so good in those pictures," which we know aren't even true to Scripture, right? Isaiah 53, "He had no beauty or majesty in his appearance, nothing, you know, in his likeness, nothing in his appearance that we should desire." So, of course, we know that those pictures aren't scriptural, right? But if they don't know his words, what have they accepted into his heart? If they believe in him, but they do not believe in what he says, then how can they even say that they believe in him? It's like the wise or the foolish man who built his house on the sand. It may look pretty. It may be in a wonderful spot. All right, looks pretty, sounds nice, but it will not stand on the day of judgment. Right? It will not stand on the day of judgment. And it's likened to those individuals. If you'll go over to Matthew chapter 15. Those individuals mentioned, starting in verse 7, "Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips.'" Right? They say, I'm a born again Christian. I've had a religious experience and accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. Maybe I'll get to baptism later just to prove how good I am. I don't know what that idea is, but these people draw near to me with their mouths, honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me because they don't know his words, or they don't believe him, or they don't follow him. And in vain do they worship me. That's a scary thought too. In vain do they worship me, and they don't even know it sometimes, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. I mean, how scary is that to think of all those? And there's lots of people who are honestly looking for the truth. They're looking for that salvation, and they get stopped short by someone else coming up and saying, well, here it is. This is all you have to do. And they think they're good because they went looking for it and they found something. It's like those scams where you go online looking for an apartment or a place to rent, and someone's posted pictures of someone else's house. And then you go and you give them the first payment, sign some paper, you get there and you realize the house is already occupied and you got scammed. But they're not going to find out until the judgment day. They get there, hey, I went looking for it and I found it. And it's scary to say. Jesus will say, I never knew you. So scary to think about that. So when we say, believe in Jesus, you'll be saved. Right? Acts chapter 10, believe in him and you will have remission of sins. John 3:60, whoever believes in him will be saved. It's an expectant truth. To believe is to do. To believe is to know what he said and act upon it. Believe in Jesus and you will be saved because he tells us what to do and how to live so that we can be saved and stay saved. And all the letters, everything the apostles went and taught and did in the New Testament, everything that came after the Gospels is those men taking Jesus' words and building his church upon them. So even though, you know, the rest of it's not in red letters, it's still his words, his teachings that they carried, that we get our precedence, we get our precepts, we get our understanding of God's word and his plan for the church. To know Christ is to know what he says. If you don't know what he says, then you don't know Christ. To believe in Christ is to believe what he says. And that is where salvation is found. So if you say, believe in Jesus, you will be saved. It is true. If you believe him, you will believe his words. You will act upon them. And that is where salvation is found. This is the lesson I have prepared for you tonight. I had to trade off a little bit because my last lesson went a little long, so I took a few minutes out of this lesson. But that's the lesson I had prepared for tonight. If there are any here who want to be added through baptism, right? Because that's what Jesus said. If you want to enter the kingdom, water in the Spirit is required. If there are any here tonight who want to be added in baptism, or if you just need the prayers of the congregation, please let that need be known as we stand to sing the song of invitation.